Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today. We're in the midst of an exciting series of studies on the Holy Spirit and spirituality. Today, a vital topic, the divinity of the Holy Spirit. I know you'll be blessed. If you've missed any in this series, we'll tell you how you can watch them right now. Welcome and welcome to the team. What a great series of studies. I am learning so much about the Holy Spirit. Vital topic today. And if you're just joining us and you've missed any in this series, you can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can watch any of the past ones in this series or past series from Hope Sabbath School. There's just a wealth of Bible information that can bless your life and through you bless others. We're also happy to hear from you. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. Even if you've written before, tell us how God is blessing. Some of you may have started teaching an interactive Bible study yourselves. We're always happy to hear from our Hope Sabbath School members. Here's one from a Kenyan living in Saudi Arabia. Now, we've got a Kenyan on our team today. Eric, wave. We want to get you on. Wave to Irene. Irene's in Saudi Arabia, but she's from Kenya. She said, I really thank God for letting me discover Hope Sabbath School. I started following these studies in 2014 after leaving my homeland of Kenya and traveling to Saudi Arabia for work. For sure, I'm so glad because here there are no churches. I follow Hope Sabbath School every day. Wow. For sure, I feel like I'm at home attending a live Bible study at my church. I really love the discussions, and it keeps my faith in Christ on fire. Amen?
Amen.
Wow. And I advise you, I tell my friends here in Saudi to follow you also. Some of them are already watching Hope Sabbath School. Amen.
Amen.
And Irene closes, pass on my greetings to fellow church members in Funyula and my husband and the rest of my family. Well, Irene, we're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School. I hope your husband, Moses, and the church family in Funyula, hope I'm saying that right, are also Hope Sabbath School members. We're glad you're with us and part of our Bible study. Here's a note. I tell you, we are an international family, aren't we? Mm. This is a Nigerian living in Greece.
Wow. Mm. Wow.
Think about that. In fact, Solomon has been living in Greece for the last 25 years.
Wow.
He says, Dear Hope Sabbath School members, I'd like to thank God for allowing you to give a new approach to our Bible studies. My wife and I enjoy your discussions and are blessed. You make the study so practical. In fact, we're using your approach to teach our Sabbath School class at the Athens International Church.
Awesome.
Our interests have increased.
Amen.
Isn't that great? Also, thank you for the scripture songs before every study. I like the way you sing. So remember that when we sing our scripture song. May God continue to bless you and people all around the world. Because Jesus is coming, we all want to be ready. Amen?
Amen.
Now get this. He is now serving as the associate pastor of the English International Church in Athens.
Amen.
So,
wow.
Solomon, we're glad you've been learning about the Bible. You've been there for 25 years. Now you're working as an associate pastor, and you're using an in-depth, interactive Bible study method. We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School. That's a great story, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Edris writes to us from Zambia and says, Hello, sons and daughters of the Most High God.
Wow. Amen.
Our loving Heavenly Father, I always enjoy watching Hope Sabbath School because you make the Bible study more interesting and simple to understand. You continue to inspire many souls. May God keep blessing the group, give you more wisdom and knowledge to each one of you. From Edris in Zambia. Thanks for writing to us, Edris. It's amazing. You know, we have literally hundreds of thousands of Hope Sabbath School members just in Zambia. God is blessing in an amazing way. And here's a note from Nita in Massachusetts in the United States of America. Thanks for writing to us, Nita. She says, I watch Hope Sabbath School every day, two or three times a day.
Wow.
Well, we have, you know, the weekly study, but we also have that daily hope, which is the daily Bible study of past series that we've done. I love the way you always have scripture songs to sing. Everyone has a smile. Smile, everyone. Told you smiles were important. And seem to have so much joy learning about Jesus. It helps me with my lessons. I love Hope Sabbath School. Well, Nita, thanks for writing to us. We are so glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. And by the way, if you want to catch up with some past studies, you can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. While you're there, you can download our new scripture song, MP3 file, and the sheet music. It's called The Fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5. Some of you have already learned it. Let's sing it together.
Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is love.
And you know, as we're studying about the Holy Spirit, I'm just praying that the fruit of the Spirit can be in my life, don't you? Isn't that your prayer? But you know, it happens not by trying to be loving, but by asking the Holy Spirit to fill us. Amen. And we're going to study today about the divinity of the Holy Spirit, vitally important topic. And we want to pray the same Holy Spirit, so active in creation and redemption and in the work of God in this day, would be at work in our Bible study. So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much that we can study about the Holy Spirit and His ministry in our midst. May you guide us into truth by your Spirit today, and we will thank you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 The divinity of the Holy Spirit. Well, we're going to begin in the book of Acts. Some have said the book of Acts should have been called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's very active in the accounts of the early Christian church. And we're going to start in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Samisa, I wonder if you could start our study today. Acts chapter 5, 1 through 4. Listen very carefully as the Holy Spirit is referred to in this story in the early Christian church.
Yeah. Read in Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 4 from the New International Version. It says, "Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, 'Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money that you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And also, it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God.'"
Wow. So here he is, the story. He sells a piece of land, his wife Sapphira too. Is there anything that required them to bring all of the money that was raised from the sale of the land?
No.
They could have returned a tithe. Or they could have said, "We feel so blessed, we're going to bring a second tithe." There was certainly need in the Christian community. The church was growing. Many were still from different parts of the world visiting Jerusalem, had come to faith in Christ, and they had a common purse, remember. They shared everything in common. So what was the problem here? Can you read between the lines? They brought a certain amount. What was wrong with that? Anybody? Jason?
They kept back part of the proceeds, so it seems that they had made some kind of promise they would give it all, and they were keeping something back for themselves.
Okay, either they had made a promise that they were going to give it all and were keeping some back, or they came and
pretended
like it was all. Was there any need to do that?
No.
Not at all. They could say, you know what? God has been so good to us, we are going to give half of the sale of our property. And I'm sure that the folks would have used the Hebrew, amen, right? Mm-hmm. Praise God. But apparently, either they promised and are not giving it all, or they're pretending like that's all of it. They're involved in deception. Mm-hmm. But what do you notice from the story about how the Holy Spirit is referred to? What's the first mention of the Holy Spirit? Peter says to Ananias, what? You haven't just lied to people, you've
lied
to the Holy Spirit. Now, to lie, you can't lie to something inanimate, right? I just lied to the wind. You say, I don't understand you. Oh, I lied to my neighbor. Oh, I understand. You told your neighbor something that wasn't true. Mm-hmm. So you first mentioned lied to the Holy Spirit. But did you notice what it said in verse 4? Mm-hmm. What did it say, Adrian?
It refers to the Holy Spirit there as God.
Yeah, he says you haven't lied just to people or to human beings, as was read, but to God. Mm-hmm. So there is a first indication. First of all, that the Holy Spirit is not an inanimate force, but a person lying to this person, and that this person, the Holy Spirit, is God. So let's go on and look at some other references in Scripture to the Holy Spirit. 2 Samuel, we'll go back to the Old Testament, chapter 23, verses 2 and 3. Tricia Lee, if you'd read that for us, starting in verse 2 of 2 Samuel 23.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me. He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God.
So you've got two this is Hebrew parallelism, by the way, and you've got two beings referred to. First name is?
Spirit of the Lord.
And second,
God of Israel.
God of Israel. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's either saying they both talk to me, or it's saying that the Spirit of the Lord and the God of Israel
are the same. Mm-hmm.
Look at another verse in Isaiah chapter 63, verses 10 through 14. Isaiah chapter 63. And Stephanie, looks like you might have that.
Sure.
Chapter 63, verses 10 through 14.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people saying, where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit within them, who led them by the right hand of Moses, with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them, to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they might not stumble? As a beast goes down into the valley, and the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest, so you lead your people, to make yourself a glorious name. Mm.
So here's the Holy Spirit, God leading, the Holy Spirit leading. One more verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, referring actually to spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to compare verse 11. Kyle, if you have 1 Corinthians chapter 12, compare verse 11 with verse 28. Listen carefully as Kyle reads.
All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. I'm reading from the New King James Version. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And then going to verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues.
So you go to verse 11, and who is distributing the gifts?
Spirit.
Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
As he wills.
As he wills. And then in verse 28, Samiso, who is the one doing the appointment?
God.
God is appointing people with various spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. At very least, these two are inextricably linked together. Mm-hmm. But it may be that the same title is being used for both. Still in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians now chapter 3, verse 16, and chapter 6, verse 19. I'd like to have the same person. Alex, if you have 3:16, 1 Corinthians 3:16, and then turn over and read 6:19. We'll look at both of those verses.
All right, sure. I'll be reading from the King James Version. And verse 16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?"
Temple of God, Spirit of God dwells in you. Mm. And now 6:19, 1 Corinthians 6:19.
Okay, verse 19 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?"
3:16 says you are the temple of
the Holy Spirit.
God.
Temple of God.
6:19 says you're the temple of
Holy Spirit.
You see? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now let's go over to the teaching of Jesus. And Jesus has something startling to say in Matthew 12, verses 31 and 32. He has just performed a miraculous sign. He's casting out demons by the power of God, and people accuse him of doing it by the power of Beelzebub, prince of the demons. Mm. And let's see, Adrian, if you could read for us Matthew 12, verses 31 and 32. Let's see how Jesus responds.
Sure, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come."
Mm. Wow, that's serious, isn't it? Some have described that as the unpardonable sin or the unforgivable sin. And Jesus says it's something to do with sin against the Holy Spirit. So I have a couple of questions for us. I think someone may be watching Hope Sabbath School and saying, I think I may have crossed that line. Here's my first question. Why is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit more serious than blasphemy against Jesus, who is the Son of God? Help me with that. What do you think? Alex?
The Holy Spirit is what convicts us of doing wrong. So if we're pushing away the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it can be over time, but if we keep pushing the Holy Spirit away from us, we're going to lose that conviction. We're going to lose the desire to want to turn to God. Because we learned, I think previously in a lesson, that the Holy Spirit is what leads us into truth, what leads us to Christ.
Conviction of sin. Yeah. Is it serious to blaspheme against Jesus, Son of God?
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. But Kyle, what do you think of what Alex said, that when we push away the Holy Spirit, we're pushing away the one that is to lead us to Jesus?
Right. I mean, I think, of course, we don't want to blaspheme against Jesus. But you know who came to my mind was the Apostle Paul. Because at one point, he was actually working against Jesus, right?
Sure, he was.
But I think the Holy Spirit was working on his heart even during that time. So he was slowly allowing the Spirit to lead him, and he hadn't pushed the Spirit away to the point where God couldn't talk to him. And then eventually, God got his attention in a real way. Mm. But so as long as the Spirit is still working in our hearts, we will still come back to him. But when we push the Spirit away completely so that he can't speak to us, that's when we're not... when we've blasphemed against the Spirit and that we're not able to hear His voice anymore.
And who then can lead us to Jesus?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Tricia Lee?
Jesus was making the statement after he had rebuked a demon from someone, and he was accused of casting out that demon through the power of the devil. And it was truly the power of the Holy Spirit that was helping him to do that. And I think that his response to the people was just that, if you come to the point where you are no longer able to recognize the power of God working and acknowledging that God is moving, that the Spirit of God is working in your life, that's a scary place to be. And if you think the working of God is actually the working of the devil, because there's no conviction, there's no acknowledgement that you need a Savior, there's no acknowledgement that God is alive and working in you. And so I think that's also part of this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, is calling the things of God the things of the devil, because at that point, you're not even paying attention to anything that God has for you, because you've automatically made it something bad and something that's not of relevance to you. And there's no need for you to ask forgiveness. There's no need for you to seek the Lord. And so I think he was specifically also addressing their kind of blindness that they had put over their own heads to not even pay attention to the work of God. And so I think we also have to be careful of mischaracterizing God's moving and saying, oh, God would never do that. And it truly is the hand of God. And so we don't follow him into the blessings and salvation that he wants
sure.
for us.
Or maybe you are under conviction that it is of God, but you don't want to listen to it.
Yeah.
And so you write it off. You push it aside. Oh, that's nothing. When you are under conviction, and if you do that, I think what I heard Alex saying, if you do that enough, you can actually become desensitized is the word, right? Yeah. Desensitized, just like a person who lives next to a train station and they don't hear the whistle right. blowing anymore. Right. They sleep through it. They have tuned out
right.
that conviction. Nancy?
Or if you have kids, I don't know if you've ever seen a kid go, I can't hear you, I can't hear you, because they're just covering their ears and closing their eyes. But, you know, if they would listen, maybe they'd hear that the person is trying to tell them, listen, I forgive you, but they just don't want to hear.
Sure.
And so we do that with the
Someone
Holy
shared Spirit. With me one time, and I thought it's quite a good insight. It doesn't say that blaspheming against the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven. It says it shall not be forgiven. Huh. I thought about that for a minute, because if we confess any sin, it doesn't the Bible say in where 1 John 1 and 9. Verse 9, he's faithful and just to
forgive us
and to
cleanse us.
So it's not that it cannot be forgiven. Why is it that it shall not be forgiven? The answer is because we come to the place where we don't
ask. We can't even ask for it.
We don't even desire to ask. We're just hardened. We're spiritually anesthetized.
Numb,
desensitized to the Spirit's conviction. Gloria?
Yeah, I just wanted to add to what everybody said, that is the fact that sinning against the Holy Spirit is a process. So sometimes we tend to think of it as a type of sin or a kind of sin, or I'm going to remember that I lied or I stole and then ask forgiveness. But it's the process of withdrawing from God and not even remembering that this is what I did. And so when you sin against the Holy Spirit, it's like you don't remember the Ten Commandments, or you don't remember the laws that God gave you, and that's what makes it really dangerous.
So it's not like I killed someone
right.
or I... whatever, stole something or I lied. It's a process of desensitizing my heart and mind to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. And I appreciate what you said. It's a very serious thing to blaspheme against Jesus. But it's the Holy Spirit would say, you shouldn't do that, mm-hmm. right? He's yeah. the one that will convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment.
Yes.
You shouldn't do that because Jesus is the eternal Son of God.
Amen.
So you shouldn't. So then the conviction comes, we repent, and you gave Saul of Tarsus as an example, mm-hmm. who was forcing people to blaspheme mm-hmm. the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. who eventually becomes a follower of Jesus
Amen.
By the power of
the Holy Spirit.
By the power of the Holy Spirit. So we've alluded to this, but let's be practical now. A friend comes to you, and this may have happened to you. It's happened to me, Samiso, and they say, Samiso, I just... deliberate transgression. I keep doing the same sins over and over. I know it's wrong. I think I have grieved the Holy Spirit, I've committed the unforgivable or unpardonable sin. How would you respond? That's a very serious thing for a person to say, right? So we don't say, oh, whatever, you're fine. It's serious, right?
Right.
They're obviously,
Absolutely.
They're feeling the weight of this. So they've come and been transparent with you. What would you say to her? Or what would you say to him?
Well, I'll tell him that the first thing is the fact that they're feeling that way mm-hmm. shows that there's some conviction still remaining in them.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That they actually recognize that there's something wrong they're doing.
So I'd say the Holy Spirit is probably still speaking to you because you realize something. If the Holy Spirit had departed and they had grieved it, then they would not even be cognizant of what they were doing.
Anybody agree? What do you think?
Yeah.
You'd agree with that. Just the fact that they're feeling, use the word, the weight. Yeah. The weight of that. Like, I think I'm out of harmony with God. You're saying that is actually an evidence of the Spirit's working. Kyle?
Yeah, I think if you're asking that question, that is an evidence that you have not committed the unpardonable sin. Because you're actually feeling the conviction that something may not be right in your life.
Amen.
So if anybody's, you know, feeling that way, just be encouraged that God is still working in your life.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is still speaking to you.
But I'm such a sinner, the person says. I think I have committed so much. I'm the worst sinner in the world. Jason?
That's actually a good thing because...
not that you're the worst sinner.
Not that you're
right?
a sinner, but that you are aware of that. Because if you have committed this unpardonable sin, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, you won't realize it. You'll think you're fine. So if you're at a point where you don't think you're fine, you haven't committed it.
That's right.
That reminds me of the Apostle Paul. You remember, Adrian, were you thinking of that?
I was thinking of the Apostle Paul, and maybe it's something slightly different, but how he says that he was the chief of sinners.
Yeah.
And he, as we've talked about already, he blasphemed against Jesus and caused other people to do that. And so I would ask my friend, do you think you've done worse than Paul has? And obviously the answer would be no. And so therefore... there is hope for you because there was hope for Paul. And look at what God did in his life.
You know, that's one of my favorite texts to Timothy. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
Whom
I'm the chief. Yeah, I'm the worst one. And you're saying, Jason, that's not a bad confession. That's actually a sign of the Spirit's conviction.
Yes.
Gloria?
I think it's also important to help the person get back to seeing God as who they see you, because they came to you to talk to you, but it's more important to help them understand that what you're feeling and how you're talking to me, you should be able to talk to God in the same way and ask for conviction too.
Amen.
So, Lord, I'm sorry that I've deliberately sinned against you and I've hurt you, but I want to claim that promise in 1 John 1:9, right?
Yes.
We're going to move on now and look at some divine attributes of the Holy Spirit, but I think the most important, we can talk about his omnipotence and omniscience and omnipresence, but the most important characteristic of God that we see manifested in the Holy Spirit is that God is
love.
Thank you. God is love. And the Holy Spirit is drawing us to Jesus, not because he hates us, but because he loves us. But a few texts just to show, we're saying, wow, the Holy Spirit's a real being, not just an inanimate force. But let's look at a few attributes of the Spirit, which are indeed divine attributes. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11. Jamie, would you read that for us and see what attribute of God is manifested here?
The New Living Translation states, "But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit."
We call that knowing of all things what? What's the word?
Omniscience.
Omniscience, right? That's where he's going to lead us into all truth. Now, I don't think that means that I'm going to know everything about everything, but all the truth he wants you to know, wherever you are in your life, he knows it and can bring it to you, right?
Yes.
What about Psalm 139, verse 7? Gloria, do you have that?
Yes.
Psalm 139, verse 7. Here's another attribute of the Holy Spirit, which is a divine attribute.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence?"
Why does David, the psalmist here, say, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your spirit or go from your presence?" Why?
Because
wherever I go, in fact, he says it later in the song, wherever I go, you're already there. Yeah. We call that omnipresence. In fact, Jesus said, "It's actually good if I go away. I will send you another comforter. He will be with you and in you." Mm-hmm. Omnipresence. Okay? What about Hebrews 9, verse 14? another attribute of God. He is not only omniscient and omnipresent. Hebrews 9:14. Eric, would you read that for us?
Reading from the New King James Version, Hebrews 9 verse 14 says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead work to serve the living God.
Now, the Bible says that immortality belongs to God alone, right? The Bible does say this mortal, or subject to death, will put on immortality when Christ comes in glory. But God alone inherently has immortality. And the Spirit is referred to as the
Eternal
Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
The Eternal Spirit. So here, one more text, Luke 1, 35 and 37. Stephanie?
Sure.
Luke 1, 35 and 37. It's a conversation between the angel Gabriel and Mary, mother of Jesus. And another attribute is revealed here.
And the New King James puts it this way. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible.
Amen. So if nothing's impossible for the Holy Spirit of God, that means the Holy Spirit of God is
all-powerful
or omnipotent, all-powerful.
Amen.
You see all of these characteristics, but I think what's more important than just listing divine attributes is to see the Holy Spirit of God at work, creation, redemption. Mm. And in this series, we've looked at some of those key texts, but I want to look at just a few of them and then give you an opportunity to share how the Holy Spirit led you to salvation, how the Holy Spirit brought conviction to your life about Jesus. Let's first look at the Holy Spirit in creation. Two verses, Genesis 1 verse 2 and Psalm 33 verse 6. And let's see who'll read. Jason, could you read Genesis 1 and verse 2 for us?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters.
Now, later in that same chapter, it says, and the Lord said, let us make man in our image, right? Mm-hmm. God said, let us make man in our image. Mm-hmm. We know from our study of the New Testament that the Son of God who became Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, was the active agent in creation. So we see all of the Godhead working in creation. Psalm 33 and verse 6, maybe we've not heard this the way that we'll hear it now. Jamie, would you read that for us? Psalm 33 and verse 6.
The New Living Translation says, "The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born."
Mm-hmm. This word breath or breathed is the same word for spirit. Mm-hmm. How many of you grew up thinking that the Holy Spirit was really active in the creation of the world?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you grew up with that idea, okay? Most people, no? How many of you grew up thinking the Son of God who became Jesus, came into humanity, was the one who led out in the creation?
Yes.
Okay? Or you just knew it was God, right?
No.
Yeah,
yes.
That's what it says.
Right.
In the beginning, God. So is it God the Son or God the Father or God the Holy Spirit?
God.
Yeah. All three.
It's all three, yeah. Right. Active in the creation of the world. But where we really see the Holy Spirit active and where I want to give you a chance to share your testimony is in the work of salvation.
Mm.
So beautiful as we think about the work of the Spirit there.
Amen.
Just a couple of verses. Matthew 1 and verse 20. Matthew 3, 16 and 17. Let's take a look at those together. And Kyle, would you read Matthew 1, 20?
Sure. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. The Bible says, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'"
Now, this is Matthew's account. Luke told us that Gabriel came to Mary. You remember? Mm-hmm. We've read about that in the study. And she said, how is this possible? And the answer was, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Yes. That which is with God, nothing will be
impossible.
But here, an angel comes to Joseph.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In Matthew's account, because he's just learned that his bride to be is
pregnant.
She's pregnant. And I'd need an angel too to talk to me, right? Wait a minute. But he knows she's a virtuous woman, and the angel says, no, this is what has happened. It is of the Holy Spirit. So he's given that revelation. Remember, the Holy Spirit's involved in revelation as to what's actually happening. Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17. Matthew 3, Nicole, verses 16 and 17.
Can I read from the New International Version? And it says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.
So here at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now let me just pause. Did Jesus need to be baptized?
No.
No.
He didn't need to be.
Is that a trick question? Did he need to be baptized to confess his sin and the need for a Savior?
No.
Who recognized that he didn't need to be baptized?
John
the Baptist says, I need you to baptize me. Yes. And how did Jesus respond? Do you remember?
Suffer it to be so to fulfill all righteousness.
But yes. Say that a little louder, Trisha.
Suffer it to be so to fulfill all righteousness. But he was saying that this was an example he wanted to give to those who would follow him in righteousness, that we should do that same example.
So he needed to for our example.
So would it be fair to say, if that is an example of what God desires for us, that when a man or woman, boy or girl, makes a conscious commitment, I accept my need for a Savior, I accept Jesus to wash away my sins and save me, and is baptized, the Holy Spirit will also descend upon her.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Amen.
Upon him?
Yes.
Amen. Absolutely.
Amen.
You know, and this is my beloved child. I know we're not the Messiah, but Jesus is saying the same blessing that was given here as an example will also be given to you.
Amen.
You'll
Amen.
Be anointed, born of water and of
Spirit.
And of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's very active in the work of redemption. Let's look at Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. We're talking about the divine work of the Holy Spirit. Nancy, would you read verses 4 through 6 for us?
Okay. I'm reading from the New King James Version. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
So the Holy Spirit bringing conviction, mm-hmm. leading people to repentance and to Jesus, and that washing of regeneration
Amen.
By the Spirit. I imagine the Spirit experiences great joy. Yes. You know, the Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels yes. over one sinner who repents. Yes. I think there's joy in the heart of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Don't you?
Yes.
Over one sinner who repents. So here's time for your testimony. And let me just say, there's no bad testimony, is there? Some people are like, well, I was, you know, like Saul of Tarsus, blaspheming Jesus, persecuting Christians. And someone else would say, I was just like the little boy Samuel that God called me and I said, speak, Lord. They're both good testimonies, right? Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit was active in both. Amen. So who'd like to share, as you reflect back over your life, where you saw the Holy Spirit at work drawing you to Jesus as your Savior? Who'd like to share? Yes, Alex.
Well, the Lord used a situation 15 years ago that happened to me, and in a time that I needed Him most, and had called out to Him for help in my life, He used that situation to put me in jail for a short amount of time. And I couldn't understand.
Hold on just a minute. People are saying, wait a minute, you're on Hope Sabbath School. You're telling me that you went through a tough place in your life and you ended up in jail.
Yeah.
But God worked good in jail?
He did. You know, he knew that. You know, and I prayed that. I knew it would have to be something serious to get me out of everything that I was involved in. But and so I was ready to take it on. And the Lord knew it would take that situation. It would take something serious to pick me up and kind of make me refocus. Yeah. And I couldn't understand why I was in this situation. The first probably almost 2 weeks that I was in there, I was like, why is this happening to me? And I was upset about it and mad. But during the time, my mind was clearing up from everything that I've been putting in my body and things like that and doing over those years. And after 2 weeks of my mind starting to clear up, it hit me. I said, you know, Lord, this is the answer to that prayer. And I just broke down. Wow. And from that point on, I found a Bible in there and I started reading and praying. And I was out about 2 weeks after that and still had to take care of a couple of things with it. But I haven't looked back since. And I just felt the Holy Spirit's power in my life.
Who would have imagined there? That was a critical moment, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Those 2 weeks in jail, that you would be now involved in an interactive Bible study for more than a million people. Amen. Right? That's the grace of God, isn't it?
Amen.
But Alex had a choice to make right there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. There are two thieves, one on either side of Jesus. Mm. And at one point, they were both cursing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what happened? What happened to that one who said, wait a minute, he hasn't done anything wrong. Stop cursing. Mm. Lord, remember me. Mm. Kyle, what happened to that? That what happened to Alex? In he wasn't hanging on a cross, fortunately. But you were under sentence, just like the thief, right? What happened to him?
Well, you know, I've thought about that a lot. I think he yielded to the Holy Spirit working on his heart. Even there at the last minute on the cross, mercy. He yielded to that tender pleading of the Holy Spirit on his heart. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, he turned to Jesus. And that's so encouraging to me because it just says, no matter what we've done, where we've come from, and in my own life, I think too, you know, like I've done some things that I don't deserve to be here on Hope Sabbath School and with all of you. Mercy. But by God's grace, you know, he's worked in our hearts and he's given us, he's recreated his heart in us.
Amen.
And so I think that's, I don't know, I think that's what happened to the thief.
Yeah, and to Alex too.
And to Alex.
And we're glad you're here, Alex. That's awesome. That's awesome.
And
to everybody.
All of us.
We're going to come on to recreation in just a minute, but I want to give this to someone else. Where you saw the Holy Spirit lead you to a saving relationship with Jesus. Anyone else like to share? Yeah, Nicole.
Well, I mean, this is probably about 20 years ago. I was at a service. It was a funeral service, and I think when I was sitting in the actual church, I realized that I was still searching for something. I was still yearning for something, and I think the Holy Spirit at that point realized that I was open and available to his leading. And he spoke and moved me in a direction where I could actually have a more lasting relationship with Christ. And so it may not be the huge party scene or anything like that, but it just might be a simple, small voice that says, I'm so glad you're available to me. Now I'm ready, and you're ready to hear what I have to say to you.
So that's an unusual setting. It wasn't a what we call like an evangelistic meeting or a revival meeting. It was a funeral.
It was a funeral.
Where somehow the Holy Spirit caught your attention and spoke a life-changing word to you.
Yep.
And what did he tell you?
It was basically just follow. It was a follow kind of statement. I had to do a lot of changing in my life at that point and get rid of some things that I had kind of developed in my habits and in my character. But it was more of a follow, and I'm going to help lead you to where you need to be.
Amen. Amen.
And that's a beautiful transition into the fact that the Holy Spirit doesn't just want to call us to Jesus for salvation, but he wants to recreate us.
Amen.
Into the image of Jesus, Amen. Into that beautiful character of God that the world needs to see. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. And I'm going to ask Tricia Lee if you'd read Romans 8, 11, and then read down verses 14 through 17. This is for all of us. Maybe there's someone watching and they're like, you know, I've accepted Jesus, but I feel like I'm like stagnant. I'm like stuck. And the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, she is a new
creature.
I don't feel like that's really happening. Let's see how the Holy Spirit can play a vital role.
Certainly. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, verse 11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So where have you seen the recreative power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life? Want to share? You don't have to say, Derek, I don't want to tell you about that. Adrian, where have you seen the recreative power of the Spirit at work in your life?
Well, it's something rather simple, but when I was younger, I was used to be very nervous about speaking in public or things like this. And I've noticed that since the Holy Spirit has been working in my life and guiding me into opportunities where I can share either in church or some type of mission outreach or something like that, that the more that he gives me those opportunities to do it, the less I'm afraid. And so that's recreation, perhaps not in the sense of from evil to good, which is also something that he's been doing in my life as well, but it's just a transformation to where he can use me more.
All right. He was smiling while he said that, by the way. Yeah, it's a process, isn't it? Eric, have you seen the Holy Spirit working in a recreative way in your life?
I don't know if I'm alone in this or anyone shares this with me. You have a long day. You've toiled. And then in the evening, you have this heavy heart. It's been a long day. It's been a rough day. And then you wake up in the morning. You say a prayer and you go to bed. And wake up in the morning and you feel refreshed. And you feel the grace of God cover you. And you're ready to begin a new day too. You're renewed. Like your spirit is renewed. That happens on a regular basis. So it's not, I don't think it's something that happened a long time ago or has happened weeks or months ago. It's something that happens every day for me.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful thought, and I'll come to you in just a minute, Samisu. But that I could go to sleep and say, Holy Spirit, work in me even while I sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, if the last thing we think about is the 11 o'clock news with all of the mugging and violence and, you know, terrorism. But what if I could say, Jesus, thank you for being my Savior. Father, thank you for loving me so much. And Holy Spirit, please be recreating me even while I sleep. Eric says I can wake up refreshed, not just physically from good sleep, but spiritually refreshed too because of the recreative work of the Spirit. So, Misa, did you want to respond to that or share how you've seen the Holy Spirit working in a recreative way?
Just share. I've experienced recreation in the context of clarity. So the Holy Spirit knows all things. And many times when I have big life events and decisions to make, I get a little confused. What should I do? So a couple of years ago, I went to a men's ministries retreat, and the speaker, my previous pastor, was sharing, and he says, many times we don't have clarity on where the Holy Spirit is leading us because we only invoke the Holy Spirit when we need to make big decisions. Mm-hmm. But throughout our small decisions, the Holy Spirit speaks to us and we ignore him. So if we ignore those small little decisions, all of a sudden we want clarity on a big decision to make. Well, if you don't listen to small things, you probably won't listen, so why share it with you? So I've received renewal and clarity in that as the Holy Spirit speaks to me, even with the small things, I tend to yield. And I notice that with bigger things, they so much clarity.
That's a powerful thought that even in the small decisions, we invite the Holy Spirit yes. to lead us and to recreate us. We've got to move on to mission. We'll have a little time to share at the end. But three texts I'd like us to look at because the Holy Spirit involved in creation, in redemption, in our recreation. Also, God the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the divine person, the Holy Spirit, is wanting us to not only be involved in mission, but equipping us. Let's look at three texts, Acts 1, verse 8, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, and 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. And Gloria, do you have Acts 1?
Yes, I do.
And verse 8.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Amen.
Now, you know, a lot of people, in fact, there's a story in the book of Acts about Simon the sorcerer. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Whoa, I want that power too." And they had the power of the Holy Spirit. It says, "You'll receive power." And he says, "Oh, I want that power too." What did he want the power for?
Give himself glory.
Yeah, for money. Selfish ambition, yep. Wealth. But what is the power of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit intended for?
To testify about Jesus. Jesus.
To tell people about Jesus, to Amen. Be... you talked, Adrian, about moving from timidity to boldness by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. To be able to be courageous in sharing about Jesus. Yes. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 is our mission, Jason. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And this is where we get that important phrase when we're thinking about the divinity of the Holy Spirit. In the name, singular. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you notice that, in the name, not names.
Right.
In the name of the Father, the Son,
the Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
But let's look at the context, verses 18 through 20 of Matthew 28.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen."
And who's speaking?
Jesus.
Jesus. And here's, he says, "I am with you always." And how is he with us always, even to the end? By the Holy Spirit, right?
Amen.
Equipping us for mission,
yes.
To always be telling people about Jesus. Officially.
It reminds me of this, of the part in the scriptures, and I don't remember where Jesus says, "The Father's been working, and hitherto I'm working."
Yes.
Then he also tells us, "And greater works than these will you do, because the Spirit's come. I'm going to send the Comforter to you." And so God, the Father's mission has always been to reconcile us. Jesus came to continue that mission here. And then when he went back to heaven, he's sending the Holy Spirit to help us, equip us to do that. And so it's the same work, it's the same mission, it's the same purpose, but we get to participate in it through the power of the Holy Spirit, because he's omniscient and omnipresent, omni-everything else.
Which brings us to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, because it really is a, can I respectfully use the word, a divine partnership?
Yes.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, common purpose, common mission.
Amen.
To reveal their love and to bring about our salvation.
Amen.
Someone should say amen.
Amen. Yes.
That's just awfully good news.
Praise the Lord.
Kyle, verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. How does Paul conclude?
Okay, this is the New King James Version. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
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 Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, love of God,
and the communion.
Communion or fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We've just a couple of minutes left, but share a time, someone you were involved in mission, because that's this work we're closing now, not only creation, salvation, recreation, mission, when you sense the enabling presence of the Holy Spirit. May have been a small event or may have been a big one. Anyone want to share a time when you were involved in mission and that you sense the enabling presence of the Holy Spirit? Nancy.
Well, the other day I was at school. I was, working there late, and the janitor came by, and we started talking about politics and history. He was very educated. And then a few minutes later, I was putting up a bulletin board for the art department, and I was putting up paintings of Harry Anderson, the Adventist painter, and there were some of the Second Coming and, just beautiful images. And he came around, and he was helping me to put them up, and he said, "Oh, what's this about?" And so I started telling him about Jesus.
Amen.
And because he had some really interesting ideas as to what was happening in the end of the world. And so I thought, no, I got to get him on the right track. And so then the Holy Spirit was telling me I should pray with him. And I thought, okay, it's going to feel a little awkward, but I decided to just do it. And he was so surprised. And then he left and he came back and he started asking me more questions. And then I told him I was going to share a book with him. So I ended up sharing Steps to Christ, yeah. The Desire of Ages with him. Yeah. No, The Great Controversy, I think I got him. So, it was just listening to the Holy Spirit, even though it felt a little awkward to me. I thought, yeah.
Why did he come back?
Holy Spirit.
Conviction, right? Yeah. Do we know the end of the story?
No.
But what's amazing is that when you allow the Holy Spirit to use you, and you say, God, I want to not only be filled with the Spirit so I can, like, feel wonderful. No, so I can join in the mission of helping others to know Jesus, yeah. And be ready for His soon return. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God, don't you? Amen. The divine Holy Spirit wants to work in us and through us in life-changing ways. And let's just pray that can happen for each one of us. In the name of Jesus, Father in heaven, we pray. We thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus, to our world, Son of God made flesh, but also for the gift of the Holy Spirit to be with us and in us, to help us to not only be saved, but not only be recreated, but to join You in Your mission of helping people to know a God who loves them and who is able to save them. Oh Lord, please fill us with Your Spirit day by day, and may Your name be honored in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. This is an amazing journey. We're talking about the Holy Spirit and spirituality, how we can be transformed by the indwelling presence of the Spirit and go out in Jesus' name to be a blessing to those around us.